Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We weren't ghost hunters or thrill seekers. We were just bored. Joel and I had driven past the old Coleman factory a dozen times. The place had been shut down for decades. Everyone said a guard was killed there in the 90s, and no one ever solved it. We didn't care about the murder.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We just wanted to see what was left inside. Joel was 20. I had just turned 18. We parked two blocks away and jumped the fence. It was just past 2 a.m. The place looked dead from the outside. Windows shattered, roof caved in, rust eating the walls. We found a side door half open and slipped inside. It was colder than I expected. Not just temperature, but atmosphere. Thick silence broken only by the crunch of broken glass under our feet. Joel had a good flashlight. I used my phone. The inside looked like time had stopped in the middle of something and no one ever came back to finish it. Machines were still there, covered in dust. There were broken ladders, hanging wires, and piles of rotting wood. Joel joked about asbestos. I stayed close. We made it maybe 20 minutes inside before we saw the first sign we weren't alone. We were walking through what used to be the assembly floor. It was huge. Open space, pillars, conveyor belts rusted into skeletons. That's when we noticed the footprints. Not ours. Big boot prints. Deep ones. Going in and out of the same hallway over and over again. Joel said someone else must have broken in earlier. But the prints were fresh. No dust settled over them. And they didn't wander. They followed paths, like a routine, like someone still walked that floor every night. Then we found the cigarettes. Four of them, all neatly lined up on a metal barrel. Still smelled fresh. Joel went quiet. I checked my phone. No signal. That's when we heard the sound. Footsteps. Just a few. Heavy. Measured. Coming from somewhere deeper in the dark. Then a voice, calm, clear. This is restricted property. Trespassers get shot. We froze. I shut off my phone light. Joel whispered we should go. I agreed. We turned around and tried to move fast without making noise. The voice came again. You were warned. We made it to the stairwell and climbed to the second floor. Every step creaked. Joel kept checking behind us. I could hear someone below. Not running, just following. We reached the upper offices. Doors were hanging off their hinges. Water damage on every wall. I could barely breathe. We slipped into a room with broken windows and crouched behind an overturned desk. Joel turned off the flashlight. For a second, we thought maybe he'd lost us. Then the beam of a flashlight hit the hallway outside. Slow sweep across the walls. It paused for just a moment at the door. I didn't move. Joel looked ready to bolt. We waited. Heard nothing for a few seconds. Then something hit the door hard. Once. Loud. I grabbed Joel's arm. We got up and ran through the opposite side of the office, back into the hall. We didn't look back. We just ran. He was walking behind us somewhere. But we didn't know how far. Then we heard a sound that didn't fit. A car idling outside. we reached a broken window at the end of the hall. Down in the lot was a red car, parked crooked near a loading dock. Engine off, lights off, driver's side door open. It hadn't been there when we got in. It was waiting. Joel said we could jump, run for the fence. I didn't argue. We climbed out onto the steel frame and lowered ourselves halfway down. As soon as Joel dropped, the shot came. Loud, sharp. Concrete chipped near his foot. He scrambled forward. I followed. Another shot rang out. This one hit Joel in the back. He screamed and dropped to his knees. I ran toward him, but he shouted for me to keep going. I hesitated, then I ran. I didn't know where I was going. I just kept moving deeper into the factory. I turned every corner, slammed every door behind me. My legs felt heavy. Locked myself in one of the stalls. I waited. His voice came again, closer. They always run. That's how I know who's guilty. It's always the ones who run. I held my breath. I could hear him dragging something down the hall. Maybe the rifle. Maybe a pipe. My heart was pounding so loud, I thought he'd hear it. He walked past the stalls slowly, then stopped. You think you're the first? This place doesn't belong to kids with phones. It belongs to the ones who kept it clean. He banged the rifle against the metal once, then silence. I waited another minute, then slowly opened the door. Empty hallway. I stepped out, limping, dizzy. I turned the corner. He was there. He didn't speak. He aimed the rifle at my chest and fired. The pang knocked me back. It wasn't like a real bullet, more like getting hit with a hammer. I dropped, gasping. My arms went numb. I thought I was dying. I looked up. He stood over me, watching, face blank. Old eyes dead. He knelt down and said one more thing. This is my post, kid. You shouldn't have trespassed. Then everything went black. I woke up in a hospital bed. My chest felt like it was caved in. The doctor said it was a non-lethal round. Low-velocity projectile meant to bruise, not kill. Still, cracked two ribs. I asked about Joel. He was okay. Bruised, shaken, but alive. Later that day, a detective came in. He had questions. I answered everything. Then he told me who the man was. Ken Thomas. This name, I've heard it before. This is the same Ken Thomas who was supposed to have been killed at the factory in 1984. Turns out that was a lie. Or maybe a cover-up. No one knew where he went. Some thought he ran. Some thought he died. But he never left. He lived inside that building for years, off the grid, eating scraps, hiding, and anyone who came in, he treated as a threat. They found his red car, the rifle, the bunker he built in one of the old storage rooms. He had cameras, journals, logs of every person who ever broke in. He was arrested, sentenced to 2 years. Only two. They demolished the factory 6 months later, put up condos and a coffee shop. The whole place got erased like none of it ever happened. But I still see that red car when I close my eyes. Still hear that calm voice in the dark. Joel doesn't talk about it. Neither do I. People think we were lucky to be alive. I don't feel lucky. Because every time I think about that place, I remember one thing he said. One thing I can't forget. Trespassers get shot.
Mason found this place online. Some old forum about abandoned industrial spots. I didn't care. I just wanted to do something that wasn't sitting in his basement, rotting in front of a screen. The idea was simple. Hike through a forest, check out a bunch of forgotten train cars, film a few clips, and then head home before sunset. That was it. Nothing special. No real planning. no map.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Just a screenshot and a general idea of where it was. The trail was rough. Roots. Rocks. Old debris. Trees were tall enough to block most of the light. And the deeper we went, the less I felt like talking. Mason didn't seem to notice. He kept going, phone in hand, camera ready. He climbed the first train like it was a playground. I hesitated. The metal looked sharp, rotten. But I followed him. I always followed him. Up close, the place was worse than I expected. These weren't just trains. They were carcasses. Torn metal. Busted windows. Graffiti that had started to fade under years of moss. You could smell oil, rust, and something sour underneath it all. I started recording, mostly for show. Though maybe I could edit a fake ghost clip later. We were moving deeper into a lot, when Mason stopped without a word. I turned to ask him why, and then we saw them. Two people standing near the base of an overtuned engine. Man and woman, average height, but their faces were hidden behind smooth white masks. No design, no expression, just holes for the eyes. The man had a knife in his hand, the kind you use in the kitchen. The woman, smaller, held a gun low to her hip. They didn't move, they didn't speak, just watched. Mason raised his arm, slightly, like saying hey, but stopped midway. I didn't know if it was fear or instinct, but neither of us said anything. We stepped back slowly, not turning around, not making sudden movements. The woods felt different now, heavier, not in a poetic way, just real, dangerous. I kept glancing at the woman's hand. She didn't raise the gun. She didn't have to. The message was clear. After a few meters, I finally turned around to look back. Nothing. The two figures were gone. No footsteps. No rustling. Just gone. Mason spun to me, eyes wide, trying not to freak out. I opened my mouth to speak, then looked forward again and froze. The man with the knife was now standing on top of a train car, 20 meters ahead, looking straight down at us. We stood still, too afraid to move. I wanted to believe he wasn't real. Just some psycho playing a prank. But nothing in his posture said joke. Behind us, the girl appeared again. Then another figure, and another. Each one stepping out of the trees, dressed in regular clothes. But wearing the same blank masks. No sound. No warnings. They came out one by one. Not rushing. Just walking like they had all the time in the world. It wasn't just a couple of people. It was a crowd, at least 15 of them, surrounding us in a slow circle. We backed up, then turned and ran through the narrow gaps between train cars, trying to break the line before they closed in. The sound started then, not screams or shouts, just footsteps behind us, quick, light, steady. Mason grabbed my arm and pulled me into a side path made by broken metal and dirt. I followed without thinking. The path cut through a mess of wrecks, broken fences, rusted scaffolding. It was tight, sharp. We scraped our arms, legs, everything. They were still behind us. Suddenly, Mason tripped. I turned too late. One of the masked men tackled him hard, slamming him into the ground. I reached for him, but someone slammed into my side and knocked me flat. My ribs hit a rock, and I gasped for air. Before I could roll, three hands were on me, grabbing, twisting, holding me down like if they had done this before. They forced me to my stomach and shoved something cold between my teeth, a metal bar. They twisted it and locked it behind my head. I couldn't close my mouth. I couldn't speak. The panic hit hard, like if I was drowning. Rope went around my wrist and ankles. Tight. Too tight. My body jerked uselessly. I saw Mason still fighting, still trying to yell through his own gag, but it was with no use. They had us. They had all the time they needed. Then came something I didn't expect. One of them kneeled next to me and grabbed a handful of thick mud from the ground. He didn't hesitate. He pressed it against my eyes and rubbed it hard, grinding it in like he wanted to blind me. The pain was sharp, stinging. I screamed through the bar in my mouth, but it came out like a choking noise. I couldn't see anymore. Everything was dark. Just the sound of breathing and shuffling. They dragged us both, pulled us through the dirt like we were trash. The metal scraps cut my back through my clothes. No one talked. No one laughed. Just silence and the sound of ropes tightening whenever we moved too much. My body ached everywhere, but I tried to stay alert. I kept twisting my right leg, trying to feel for any looseness in the rope. The one on my leg felt off, not tight enough. I focused everything on that spot. I let them drag me, pretending I'd given up, but I was counting every step. They brought us back to the train yard, back to where it all started. A clearing with a half-buried engine and broken carts. They lined us up like props. Mason laid beside me, eyes swollen, blood on his face. We didn't speak. We just looked at each other. I could tell he was still trying to fight inside. Someone stood over us. Their mask had a long crack running down one side. I could feel their breath. They crouched next to me and tugged at my rope. I made my move. I yanked my leg free and slammed my knee into his chest. They fell back, more surprised than hurt. I rolled over and kicked the dirt hard to gain distance. My arms were still tied, my jaw still locked, but I could move. I got to my knees, then up, stumbled, and ran. Mason screamed through the gag, his whole body jerking against the ropes. I saw the plea in his face, his eyes begging for help. I froze for half a second, but then I heard something behind me again, running. I ran. I didn't think. I ran like everything in me was breaking apart. The trees blurred. My body felt heavier with every step. A shape lunged at me from the right. I ducked and kept going. Ahead was a slope, steep, dangerous. I didn't care. I jumped. The fall knocked the air out of me. I tumbled down rocks, roots, old rails. My shoulder dislocated with a crack, but I didn't stop. I rolled to the bottom and crawled. Behind me, two of them jumped too. One of them landed wrong and screamed. The other one hit a tree and went silent. I pushed myself up with one hand, legs shaking. Kept going, vision blurred, one eye full of dried mud. But I saw the road ahead. I saw a car. I ran to the middle, arms up, and collapsed when they stopped. They didn't believe me at first. I couldn't talk properly. Could barely breathe, but I showed them the video. The first footage. The two masked figures. The man on the train car. The girl by the wreck. The police called in for backup, and we returned to the site. Most of the masked ones were gone. No footprints. No bodies. But they found the clearing. And they also found something worse. Inside of one of the older train cars, burnt and still warm, was a corpse. Face burnt beyond recognition. No ID. No clothes. The fire hadn't spread. It was contained. Deliberate. I told them about Mason. They searched for hours. Dogs. Drones. Nothing. No signs of him. The body wasn't his. I hoped. I kept hoping even after days passed and the calls stopped coming. The footage was taken into evidence. They said they reached out. They didn't. It's been over a month now. I'm still waiting for someone to knock at my door. Some answer. Some sign. Nothing. Mason's parents stopped calling me. I think they blame me. Maybe they're right. I think about that moment every night. When I saw his eyes. When I turned away, I replay it over and over. What if I'd helped? What if I had stayed? But the truth is, I was too scared. I didn't believe we could win. Sometimes, I check the train graveyard online. There's nothing now, not even old posts. Like it was wiped clean, like no one wants to admit it was real.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
But I know what I saw. I know what happened. And my friend isn't coming back.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here. And you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.